Okay, good morning, good vach. Welcome back to the bi-weekly shir on Minchas Asher, the Tshuvas of Rav Asher Weiss. We want to talk this morning, B'li Neder Mirtz Hashem, about the topic of corporations in halacha. Limited liability corporations, LLCs, what is their status in halacha? We'll have to see in a second why that matters. Who's considered the owner of an LLC, who's considered, you know, the person who's responsible, and therefore the halachic entity with which you're dealing when you deal with a corporation. It's an interesting topic because it may or may not, which is what makes it interesting, have precedence in halacha, such a concept of an entity made up of so many individuals who then kind of dissipate into a larger corporation. So that's something we have to see, you know, how, if it has any backing in halacha, it has any sort of a precedent, or if it doesn't, and if it does or it doesn't, we have to see what that precedent is or isn't, in which case we'll be able to decide what the halachas are. We're going to come from an angle of the halachas of ribis. Ribis is the halachas of interest, which means that although you wouldn't, it's not really an immoral thing to do, technically speaking, it seems perfectly fine and fair to lend money and then charge interest on the return. The Torah forbids such an action. The Torah forbids us from lending money on interest to another Jew. A Jew cannot lend on interest, and a Jew also cannot borrow on interest, and anyone involved in that process is liable for the penalties of the Torah in that case, meaning even the sofer, or in our, I guess, modern context, maybe like a lawyer who arranges the deal, facilitates the deal, someone who's involved in ribis, in interest between two Jews, is going to be held accountable on a deraisa level in many cases. There's also ribis derabanan, in some cases that it's only rabbinic in nature, but there certainly is an isser in the Torah of ribis. That only applies between a Jew and a Jew. However, a Jew and a non-Jew are allowed to participate in a ribis relationship. They are allowed to lend and borrow on interest. The reason for the distinction is obvious, but it's written down in a footnote that appears on the page in Shulchan Aruch. And basically the idea is that ribis, like I said before, is really perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with lending money with interest. When I have my money, so I put it into investments, and it's able to create more money, it's able to create more funds for myself. However, when I lend my money to you, I can't put my money to work anymore. And over the course of that time, I expect my money to have gone up X amount, so I charge you that you should pay me back the difference between what I lent to you and what it would have been now. That sounds perfectly normal and fair, and even moral. However, this is what it says on the page in Shulchan Aruch, the Jewish people are brothers. They are in this sort of a fraternity where they owe each other certain rights and certain privileges that are above and beyond what basic morals, basic standards should be in a society. And therefore, two Jews cannot lend or borrow on interest. And when a non-Jew enters into the picture, or in some cases, very, very rare cases, someone who's Jewish but has totally, totally scorned religion, just totally left and doesn't view himself as Jewish anymore. Again, it has to be a pretty extreme case. Seems to be machlokes on the page in Shulchan Aruch, but the Shach seems to assume this way. That has to be someone who really left the fold completely. Maybe there's a license there to lend with the ribis as well, but certainly a Jew to a non-Jew to a Jew, because there is no brotherhood, there's no fraternity in the same way. But again, it's not because we are degrading or downplaying their significance in this area of halacha. The idea is that really the standard, the stam, the normal, the default should be that ribis should be okay, interest should be okay, and that's the applicable halacha when it comes to a Jew and a non-Jew. But again, two Jews cannot lend and borrow with ribis. And because of that, Rav Asher Weiss was asked a very fascinating question. You know, I didn't write it down, but I do believe that this was in, if it wasn't 2006, it was 2004, it was the early 2000s, the first decade of the 21st century. It was asked the following question. You have in the beginning of your source sheet, Bedvar Shei Lasso, your question, Hayim Mutter Lehudi, is it mutter for a Jewish person, Lirchosh Rov Minios Hashlita Bebank Ba'artzos HaBris, to acquire the majority of the stock options within a bank in America, so to become the majority stakeholder in a bank, V'arichelik Min HaLovim, some amount of the people who borrow money from this bank, Hayim Yehudim, they're Jews. And what does a bank do when it lends money?
Charges interest.
So now, this person wants to know, v'nimta l'chora, shumalva v'ribis, this person wants to know, well, now if I take a majority stake in this bank, so I'm sort of the owner of the bank in that sense, and this bank is, I'm not managing the day-to-day, I'm not the teller on the floor, I'm not the one who's, assessing people's, ability to take a loan and how much they have to pay back. But I own the bank, I run the bank, I'm in charge of the bank in a certain sense. So maybe now I'm the one who's lending money with ribis, with interest, and there are Jewish people who are taking money from the bank. So am I now over on the isser of halva'as ribis, of lending money with interest to all the Jews who borrow from this bank? Fascinating question, yeah? Very interesting question. It happens to all of us regularly, right? Okay, so it happens to me. I don't know about you guys. So here, Rabbi Asher Weiss says, in order to understand this, we have to understand what a bank is, and then we have to understand what a bank isn't. And through that all, we have to understand what ownership is and what ownership isn't in a Jewish context, in a halachic context. So the concept, the term we're going to keep coming back to, so I'll define it for you now, it's sort of in your title over here on top of the page, is Chevra Beis Ayin Mem. Beis Ayin Mem is an acronym for, and I put it in parentheses for you there, Be'eravon Mugbal, which means limited liability. Eravon Mugbal. Eravon is the liability, and Mugbal means limited. So an LLC. Chevra means a corporation. Chevra means a group of limited liability. So a limited liability corporation, which basically I think the concept is that we all join together to create this corporation, which then takes on all of the loans, all of the debts, all of the responsibilities, all of the liabilities. Everything goes to the corporation, which means I can't be held accountable for anything in particular. No person in our group is held accountable as a person. Rather, we become one joint person of a corporate entity. It's a new entity in law. I'm not talking about halakha right now. It's a new entity. It's not a million people. It's one person. It's a new type of person, a person who's called an LLC. So how does that translate la halakha? So Rav Asher Weiss begins this tshuva, and you have it here in the first paragraph, by sort of spelling out for us, delineating for us, three areas in halacha where we see ownership portrayed and displayed, where we see the power, the koach of bailus of ownership. He says, first of all, we see ownership in the sense that a person who derives or gets benefits from profit that the business generates. So if a person owns a field in the times of the Gemara, and the field produces trees which produce fruit, or you have a cow that's growing on the field, whatever, you have so many things happening on the field, so their ownership of the field is displayed by the fact that the field generates certain produce, and therefore a certain profit, and they're able to reap the benefits of that profit, right? So they own the field in as much as they get to reap the benefits of the field. Secondly, in halacha, we also have, you have it in the bays over here, again, if you're following in the bold, zechuso lahachlet al... Al ofane hashimash b'mamon. Sorry, again, I typed this myself, so I'll get some typos. Your ownership is also displayed by the ability to determine and decide how things are used. So I also own my field because I can put up a sign and say, you can't come in here. Or I could own my field because I could say, hey, you can come in here, you should work here, you shouldn't work here, I want this tree cut down, I want another tree planted. Now I own my field because I have a right and the ability and the prerogative to go ahead and control every aspect of the utility, the usage of said field. Thirdly, ownership is displayed in the right to sell the property. So if I own this field, one of the things that's embedded in my ownership is the option that I'm able to get rid of my field, sell to someone else, give it away to someone else as a gift, you know, give it to my kids, whatever. I'm able to find a way to use my field however I so please, by transferring ownership, transferring bailus from one to another, shows my bailus as well, that I have the ability to do that. So here you have three basically ideas within ownership that all exist by someone who owns that field. That field owner has all three of those things. He gets the profits, he's able to determine how it's used, and he's able to decide, you know, when it's transferred, when it's not transferred. When it comes to a corporation, those three features are basically divvied up amongst many people, correct? So who gets the profits of a corporation? The shareholders, the stockholders, exactly. And who has the ability, or really the responsibility, of determining how the, you know, business is used and utilized and operated? Well, probably the CEO. The board of directors, or I guess it's probably different how you term it as a board or a board of directors, but the CEO is probably the one who's operating on a daily basis and manipulating what happens and what doesn't happen. And the people who decide who's going to be the owner, who's not going to be the owner, transferring rights, things like that, is the board of directors, for sure. Meaning they oversee the more holistic operations. They can fire the CEO, so they're on top of the CEO in that way. But none of them have... But the board of directors can't come in and say, this person's hired, this person's fired. They can go through a longer process where they make that happen, but they don't technically have that ability. So you basically have all three of these ownership qualities split up between three different entities. And again, the corporation as a whole operates as its own entity on its own in terms of the law, in terms of legal nature. So if that's the case, so in secular law, we see that the LLC, the corporation, is its own entity. It doesn't exist as a million humans. It exists as one thing, one being. And in halacha, all the aspects of ownership are split up over here. So we can't really pin it on any of these people that they are the owner, which means that if I come in and I say I'm the CEO of this company and then this company, let's say it's a bank. I'm the CEO of the bank, and the bank is lending with Ribis. Is it obvious that I'm the one lending with Ribis? No, I'm hiring, I'm firing, I'm deciding how daily operations go. Let's say I'm the board of directors. Am I the one lending with Ribis? No, I decide who's the CEO, and I decide certain policies, and I make statements about, you know, racism in the office, and that's my job as the board of directors. If I'm the shareholder, majority shareholder, am I the one who's lending with Ribis, lending with interest? I don't know. I'm the one who reaps the profits. I get the benefits, but I don't really make the decisions. I don't really get to manage any of the day-to-day. I don't have a right to sell, so I'm not really owning the property. So each person can sort of say, not me, not me, not me. Where none of us are the ones who technically own and run and operate and do all of those things of this corporation. So then who is it? Who owns this corporation? What is the corporation in halacha? So if you look in the next paragraph, it's amazing because this halacha was dealt with, this Shiloh was dealt with. Rav Asher Weiss quotes it as 150 years ago, which I guess means it's 170 years ago now. I thought he quotes that a little out of order, but basically it does start in the 19th century. Either it starts with the Maram Shik, it starts with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but basically he quotes a few sources over here. First of all, if you look in the bold, he quotes, Hinei she'ela zo al sal shulchan shagdol ador lefnei kamei chamishim shana. 150 years ago, this shaila already came up. It's not new. He didn't invent anything over here. First of all, he says the Maram Shik, the great Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, assumed she'ba'ali hamanios. Ba'ali hamanios are the stockholders. Einam ba'alei achevra, they are not the ones who own the company. V'hashka'asam ha'kaspis v'rechishas hamanios, and their investment, their monetary financial investment in the company in order to acquire those stocks, nechsheves kalva bilvad, is considered a loan. What does that mean? What does that mean, it's a loan?
Something.
Why? Well, explain.
It's owning money to the company.
They're investing money in the company. They're saying, I believe in this company. I believe in Apple. I believe in... Well, what's doing well? I believed in index funds and I was wrong.
Microsoft.
What? Nvidia. Nvidia, I'm sure. What is that, a weight loss pill? Those are the only things that seem to be doing well nowadays. I believe in Ozempic. So I invest in Ozempic. What am I... Now I own Ozempic? No, I'm invested in it. What does investment mean? It means I lent the company money because I believe in them, I trust them, take my money, do something good with it, turn it into more money, and when they turn it into more, I'm going to benefit from the profit. But I don't own it. I'm loaning money to the company for their operational usage. That's what the Maharam Shik tainad. He assumed that was true. Now, you do hear that svar. You hear that logically. But the pushback is also very good. The Talmud of the Maharam Shik, you have it again in the bold over here, the Maharshag. The Maharshag writes in a shuv in your Yerodeh Simin Gimel, Tama Alav, I mean, this is Rav Asher quoting him, Tama Alav, Dimbali Hamanios Heim Malvim Mihu Halove. So it's very nice. In logic, again, logically it sounds right. I'm lending my money to this bank, or to this to Apple, or to the medicine company, that they should use my money for you know, enhancing their field and for gaining more money. That is true. But every loan has a lender and a borrower. So if I'm the lender because I'm investing in this company, who's the borrower? Who's the borrower?
Company.
The company. But the company's not a person. So we're still the same. It's a funny, it's like a backwards thing. We're saying you're not the owner because you're just lending the money. Well, who are you lending the money to? A company. Is the company the owner? The company's not a person. So who is, it's like a circular, it doesn't really get anywhere if you argue like the Maharam Shik. That's what the Maharshag pushes back on the Maharam Shik over here. Others agreed with that, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes this way, or Meir Arik, again, Rav Asher Weiss quotes all of this later on, I just didn't put it all for you here, but they assume that that's true, and because of that, they propose that it's possible that if I'm a stakeholder, if I'm a stock buyer, then I'm actually the one who's owning the company. And therefore, again, some of these earlier posts came in the 19th century, assumed this way. Therefore, even if I was a minority stakeholder in the bank, I have a mixas, a shtickel, an ownership. I have a bit of an ownership in the company. And therefore, if that company is lending with Ribis, it would be on me. It would be on me, and therefore be a problem owning stocks in the bank. Kal v'chomer, even more so, Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva, which is about a guy who's going to own all of the stocks in the company, or a majority of the stocks in the company. But it seems like from some of these earlier achronim that even if you own just a little bit, that would already be true. Now, there are other poskim who fall somewhere in the middle. There are other poskim who fall somewhere in the middle where they Dain Weiss, again, Rav Asher Weiss quotes all of this, where they assume that shareholders can be halachic owners in the company if, big ifs, like Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, if they're majority stakeholders. Dain Weiss, I think, writes if they have voting rights in the company. Therefore, they kind of yield some power in the company. They're all getting at the same, they're all struggling with the same tension, which is basically, you do own it, you don't own it. So some of them go all the way and say, no, if you own it, you own it. And some of them go halfway and say, "You, if you own it and you have some ownership rights, some utility, some directing power, some power within the company itself, then you're really an owner. But otherwise, I can't really call you an owner." Yeah.
It shouldn't be limited to banks. It's any corporation.
Correct. Yeah, any corporation. Bank is just the easiest.
They borrow money.
Of course. Bank is just the easiest thing for an Am Aretz like me to know that you lend in. I'm sure real estate places lend. I'm sure nursing homes lend. I'm sure,
Borrow.
Correct. Everyone lends and borrows. Everyone lends and borrows, but don't ask me for a loan. I'm not going to help you out. But that's only because I'm not able. If I was able, I would help you out. But most people do in a business setting lend and borrow. But I'm just using bank, A, because it's the question in the tube over here, and B, because it's very common.
Every shareholder is really just a lender? Is that that?
Yeah, meaning he's investing in the company. He's lending money to the company that they should use it for their growth.
Why is the dividend not considered risk for him?
Why is it different? No. Again, the company is not. That's part of the pushback. Is the company is not a Jewish person. The company is a million people. Probably 99% of them are goyim. I'm lending money to a guy. It's fine. But or a corporation, which we have to see what it is. But I'm saying it's not a regular case of lending and borrowing. And also, I don't think that's. It's not. It's lending in a different sense. It's lending. It's not a loan. It's a investment. So it's lending money to use. It's not a loan. I'm not lending the money to the company and saying please pay me back. I'm giving the company money to use and I'm buying in. So it's in between in that sense. It's an investment as opposed to a buying, but it's a more which is closer to a loan. Yeah.
Does the
derivative
itself have to be in actual dollars, or can you lend an item?
Items also.
Also,
yeah.
In terms of the interest paid.
Items also. Yeah, like the Gemara, I mean, again, this is a very complicated area of halacha, but, you know, the Gemara assumes multiple cases of wax and flour. You know, if I lent to someone a flour, 5 pounds of flour, whatever, a cup of flour, and they give me back a cup and a half of flour, that would be a case of ribbis also, potentially. Depends on many factors, but it could be a case of ribbis as well. If someone comes to borrow a cup of sugar and you just, you know, give them back a whole box because it's easier, you have to ask a shayla. I mean, this is dealt with. This is not, I'm not the first person to talk about this. It's complicated. Yeah.
But you don't ask.
Correct, yeah, so it wouldn't be Ribbis Katutza. Ribbis Katutza is a Daraisa Ribbis, a biblical Ribbis, which means that we arrange the deal in advance, we set the price, and we said we're going to pay back more than this, and it was written down, and it was agreed upon. There's also Ribbis that's not Katutza, which is just happens, so it's not requested, not demanded, not signed upon, but it was done. That's also a form of Ribbis. Sometimes Darabanan, but still a form of Ribbis.
And that's most of what we're talking about here, is that.
Good here? So many... In that case, I know, but... The investing in the company is a separate issue. That's how much you own. Now, let's say I come to a bank and I ask for a loan. That's going to be real ribbis. We're writing down a document. I owe you this. The bank is going to take back more. You know. So then who owns the company becomes a ribbis daraisa question very quickly. And every lawyer on the deal becomes a ribbis daraisa question. Because again, the person who's facilitating the ribbis is also held accountable. Yeah, so if you look in the next paragraph... If you look in the next paragraph, the paragraph that starts Gam Ha'igros Moshe, Gam Ha'igros Moshe and Evan Ezer Hiskim Shelevale Manios Yesh Din. We're going to come back to Rav Moshe Feinstein in a different tshuva, but here Rav Moshe Feinstein writes Yesh Din Bailim. So he says that Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that it's true that they have a din of Bailim, but only if they own a majority portion of the company. Ach Glanias Daiti Svarzo Rechoka Meod. If you look in the underlined section, Ve'ina Misya Shavas Aleiv says Rav Asher Weiss. I don't know. This doesn't sit right with me. Or Moshe Wright doesn't sit right with me. Lo Yitachin Shebalei Osa Hazchus. It doesn't make sense to me that people who have the exact same merit, the exact same rights in the company, Lichsh Yikshu Bris Beinehem Viu Rov Viu Kebailim. If they make a deal and they buy a majority of stocks, then they become the owners. When the wheel turns, and the next guy, my neighbor, bought the majority stake, so now I'm a miyut, now I'm only 41% or whatever, 49%. I have the same rights in the company. Meaning, well, if I'm a majority stakeholder, it doesn't really involve all that much more in most companies. It doesn't mean I have any deciding or voting power. If I have voting power, I could get it at 41% too, or 30% or 20%. I might have less votes, but I have the same voting power. So all of a sudden, just because I have 49% as opposed to 51%, I'm less of an owner. If you think I'm an owner for owning stocks, then I'm an owner for owning stocks. If you think I'm not an owner for owning stocks, then I'm not an owner for owning stocks. Rav Asher Weiss says you can't be, as we say, poseach al shtei asifim. You can't be riding two horses at once. You can't be on both sides straddling the two sides of the line over here. Anyone have another mashal for that? Mm-hmm. Whatever, there are different phrases to express what we're trying to say. You can't be in two places at once. I don't know. Can't dance at two weddings. Very good. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, we're going to move a little far afield over here, but it can't be in two fields at once anyway, so let's just stop now. So you can't have both ways. You can't have both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have that you're the owner and then you're not the owner, depending on majority. It doesn't really make sense. It's the same power. It's the same ownership of the company. So Rav Asher Weiss says he doesn't like this idea from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Then Rav Asher launches into a brilliant, beautiful, and fascinating concept that he's not mechadish this. This isn't his chiddish. Adrabah, he wants to prove to you later, and we'll get to it, B'li Neder Mitzvah Shem, that it's not his chiddish. He wants to show you there is precedent for this. But even the precedent that he rejects is also precedent for it. You'll see soon. But he says it so beautifully in his classic way, and also he comes onto it on his own in terms of logic and svara. Look in Os Gimel, where it starts, Ulanias Daiti. Ulanias Daiti Barer. It's clear to me that ha-maimur ha-mishpati shel chevra be'er avon mugbal. The legal status of the LLC, of the Limited Liability Corporation, b'metzias hakalkalis hamodernis, in the current, you know, financial, modern financial reality, ki'ishius mishpatis, it's hard not to read this in Israeli as opposed to my regular Ashkenazis, ki'ishius mishpatis, and it has its own legal personality. LLC has its own legal personality. It's its own entity, correct? A corporate entity is not people, it's a person. Bifnei Atma, on its own, Takav Gam Mibechina Hilchatis. He says that's also true in the halachic sense. Meaning, in the very same way that in civil law, in legal terms, in business dealings, the LLC is its own entity, is its own person, so too in halacha, a corporation is its own person. It's its own entity. None of the three aspects of ownership exist by all of the parties. And therefore, every aspect of ownership is split up over the parties. So you can't pin the ownership on any given one of those three individuals or groups of people. And therefore, it's an idea, it's a metzias, it's a reality which the Gemara never dealt with. The Gemara never talked about a corporation. The Gemara never explained to us this concept of an LLC. And therefore, we shouldn't make up new concepts. Rather, Ella, bold, lekabel es mishpat ha'amim. We should accept what the legal definition is. Bechol ha'olam kulo, or across the world. Bechol ka'gavna, vaday dina demalchusa dina. So this is his first answer, which is fascinating in its own right. We'll see in a second he's going to give an even more fascinating answer. But he says, why? What's the default here? We don't know how to define a corporation. There's no halachic source. There's no background for a corporation because ownership is defined as three things and we can't find those three things by any individual or group when it comes to a corporation. And therefore, what's the default? What's the fallback? Dina de Malchusa Dina, which is a share for another time entirely, what that applies to and what it doesn't apply to. People, for some reason, are always interested in whether you have to pay taxes and whether you're allowed to run a red light in the middle of the night. How many times are you at a red light in the middle of the night? Everyone wants to know that always. Am I allowed to run a red light in the middle of the night? How many times are you there in the middle of the night, a red light? In Washington Heights, where I went to high school, in Uniondale, I went to Hank for high school. So there, the rule was you run the red lights even in the middle of the day because you don't want to stop for a second in that neighborhood. That was the rule. You want to get right to school and get behind the gate and that was it. A pretty dangerous place. Washington Heights had a similar rule. Certain red lights were understood that you ran through them.
Not just Jews.
Yeah, well, there they got to be careful because the guy's running the other red light at the same time. The green lights are more dangerous because the other guy's running the red light in the Heights. That's even more dangerous. But generally speaking, people are always wondering about that. I don't know why people are so worried about sitting at a red light in the middle of the night so much. But okay, Din Malchus Din is a whole discussion for another time. But here, Rav Asher Weiss is saying something brilliant and amazing and fascinating is that when we can't identify it, then we should fall back on legal terms and fall back on legal definitions. Why? Because Dina de Malchusa Dina means that legal, you know, law of a Medina, law of a state, you know, or federal, whatever, the laws of the country and the state, they matter in halacha. They matter in halacha. They have halachic significance. Generally speaking, if the Torah defines something for us, we're going to look to the Torah, but here, the Torah didn't give us a full definition of corporation. It gave us three separate definitions. None of them converge over here, and therefore we default to the law of the land, which is that a corporation is its own entity. Now remember, the difference here is major. If it's its own entity, there's a major nafkamina in terms of ribbis. We're going to talk, there's other things too. We know there, Mr. Shem, we'll get to them. When it comes to ribbis, so again, I can't borrow from a Jew with interest. If a bank is owned by a Jew, I cannot borrow from the bank with interest because it's to a Jew. But if it's a corporation, so I'll say a second case. If it's a guy, I could borrow from him with interest. If it's a guy who owns the bank, I could borrow from the bank with interest. What if it's a corporation? the bank. Can I borrow from that bank with interest? Well, if it's owned by Goyim, for sure I can. But what if there is a Jewish majority stakeholder? What if a Jew runs the company? What if a Jew's on the board of directors? What if the Jew is the CEO? Could you imagine a Jew being the CEO of a bank? Probably not. But if it could ever happen that a Jew could be in charge of a bank, so then would I be allowed to borrow with interest from them? The answer is, according to Rashi Weiss, the corporation is not a person. It's not Jewish. It's not Goyish. It's not anything. It's not Caucasian. It has no status. It is an entity in and of itself. A corporation is an entity of itself, and therefore borrowing with ribis from that company would not be a violation of the Issa ribis. Yeah.
So he would hold that the bank loan needs a heterisk.
Not necessary. Excellent. So he's going to talk about that, even just like kind of like Derek Agav, but I'm glad he brought it up. So there is a concept in ribis which it's almost like it's the mechiras chametz of ribis, meaning it's a I don't know the right word for it. It's not a workaround. It's not a loophole. It's not sidestepping. It's not whatever the subterfuge, harama, right? All those things. Remember to buy Rabbi Daniel Feldman's book. It came out last week, and it's hit the market already. So it's none of those. It's something, one of those terms that's the most nice to use. It's called a heter iska. So when it comes to mechiras chametz, we get rid of our chametz in order to avoid iser chametz. When it comes to ribis, so I can't lend and borrow from a Jew with ribis, but we have to do business with Jews. So what are we supposed to do? So there's a heter iska, which has been used for many, many years, which is basically a way of defining the loan that I'm making, not as a loan, but rather as an investment. It's actually, you know, directly related to Matt's point from before, that there's a difference between a loan and an investment, and heter iska sort of turns this into, I don't know the right terms, it's an escrow of the money? No, it's not. I don't really know the right terms, but we'll dig up a heter iska. It's easy enough for a business person to understand. The money is put in as an investment as opposed to a loan, and therefore you're allowed to take profits as opposed to interest. Fee, I don't know. I majored in Jewish studies, and it was only because that's what I ended up with at the end. I took two classes of Yiddish, and they were like, what should you major in? So it was Jewish studies. But if I would have done economics, I would understand. But buy low, sell high. That's all I know about economics. Yeah.
The U.S. Supreme Court says that a corporation can be treated as a person.
It is a person, correct. But that person doesn't have a bris milah, or right? It's just a person. It's not a Jew. It's exactly the point. Like you said, it's a person. It's amazing. It's an amazing legal concept. So what Rav Asher is saying, we use that legal concept of halacha also, because we can't define it either way, and therefore halacha defines it as dina machus dina, that it's just a new person. It's a new type of person that exists in the world. Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. Then Rav Asher says, oh, sorry. So what you were asking about, I forgot. I got off track. So the heter iska. So we use that in order to avoid a lot of ribis cases. So what we're referring to over here is that in Eretz Yisrael, I think they have these like blanket heter iskas, where basically a bank draws up a heter iska that every loan we make forever is always with a heter iska. So that they don't have to go through it each and every time, and each and every lender and each and every borrower doesn't have to do it, and some don't care about ribis, some do care about it. The whole thing, the whole bank is under a heter iska. It's a questionable usage of the heter iska. Maybe it is closer to a loophole in that sense, because it's not specific and it's not dealing with the people on the ground. It makes everything generally into it. It makes it kind of into a farce. It kind of makes it laughable, according to some poskim. However, it is accepted by many poskim. It is used by the banks in Eretz Yisrael. But yeah, according to Rav Asher Weiss, right now, what that would mean is that you wouldn't necessarily need that. Or at least, can we say the following? Even if you think you need that heter iska, but it's not so good, that plus this, and you're feeling a little more confident in the system, right? Meaning, even if you're not sure about either one, you have two things going for you over here. Maybe a corporation's not really a Jew, and maybe heter iska is going to work. So therefore, together, you could feel comfortable with it. So Rav Asher Weiss is going to address that. I don't know if we'll read it inside, but he's going to say that at some point as well. Yeah, that's Rav Asher Weiss's first suggestion. Then he says something unbelievable. Ulanias daiti. So if you see where we were just reading in the Gimel, where it was bold and then it gets not bold and then bold again. Lo rak she'ein zeh soser din Torah. It's not just that there's no Torah din against this, and therefore we go with the din of the machus adina. But rather, he says, ela zehu ikr din Torah. Actually, I think the Torah defines a corporation as its own entity, a new person, like the Supreme Court. And like the law in general, and like business dealings, understand the corporation, so does halacha. Uluch ora nireh. The af lule hilchus adin machus adina, even without any law of the country, hachever bebalus atzma he v'nidonis ki ishius mishpatis atzmais. I think halacha looks at corporations as their own new person, new entity. Sharizet amitas hamatzias, because that's the truth. That is what a corporation is. That is what a corporation is. V'lachein v'alkein be'ofin akroni. Fundamentally, in a chever mechuyavus b'mitzvos haTorah. This corporation is not chayev in mitzvos. Because who said Nasa v'nishmet har Sinai? Not B'nai Yisrael LLC. Klal Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishmeh har Sinai. Right? It wasn't some corporation that issued a statement that they accept the Torah. No corporation ever accepted the Torah. They didn't stand at Har Sinai. Like I said before, they didn't have a bris milah, and they don't stand at Har Sinai and accept the Torah. The Torah was given to the Jewish people, not to a corporation.
So in Metzias, I mean, an individual can create himself, can turn themselves into
a... So the post can say, doesn't work, because then the person is still the one totally, solely running. Meaning, we only fall back on this in terms of legality, because when it's a group of people, we don't have a legal... You don't have a halachic legal term that defines it. Rather, it's a new person. But if one person incorporates himself, which you're right is possible, then he hasn't made himself into an LLC. He's still himself qua halacha. Yeah, qua legal. It's not a good workaround. That would not be a good workaround. Correct. It is a good idea though if you want to like have a nice signature on your email address. I had the same thing that I was, you know, I fundraised for the Kol a little bit. I don't know if you guys knew that. It's an important thing to know. So I was someone sent me a check, and the check came from, you know, whatever his name was, John Smith Family Fund or something like that, estate. And, like the guy, I mean, he's a good guy, and he's obviously generous that he gave to the Kol, but he's not like the wealthiest person I ever met. So I asked him, like, don't you have to be like very wealthy to have your own like fund? He's like, no, you could open it right now. Like, I think I should. I want all my checks to say Jonah Simon's fund. Doesn't that sound a lot more fancy? Hey, my $18 checks, you know, should come from my fund, my family estate. Anyway, so you can do the same thing at LLC. Jonah Steinmetz LLC is a better signature than Jonah Steinmetz janitor at the Kolo. So, but you, with your LLC incorporation wouldn't, again, get you out of Ribbis if you were a personal, one individual person.
We apply this to all the Ribbis or just everything else?
So here, Rashi writes just one line. If you look at the bottom, if you look at the single line over here, says Rashi writes, even though I think this is absolutely true, I'm convinced of it, I'm not nervous, he's not equivocating, even so, ribis is so severe, it's so stringent, so chamer, it's daraisa, that it's best to be machmir, which means best to use a heteriska. So again, if you have that case of the banks in Israel, or any bank, it's best, and, you know, in this case it was an American bank that he was asking about, so it's best to use the heteriska along with this, but I think this is true in and of itself. That being said, as Matt's pointing out, there are other areas of halacha where this applies. For example, a Jew may not own chametz on Pesach. A guy may own chametz on Pesach. What about a corporation? Can a corporation own chametz on Pesach? Well, what if a corporation is owned by many Jews, though? So what Rashi Weiss is suggesting, and he says this explicitly here, is that, yeah, if a corporation is, even if it's owned by Jews, or majority Jews, or all Jews, but if it's a corporation, if it's an LLC, it's a group of people that are turned into one individual, it can potentially own chametz on Pesach. What if you buy a kli from a guy? You have to do tefillas kelim? Don't worry, we're not going to go back into tefillas kelim. I know you didn't enjoy that shit. We're going to stay away from it. You need to be tayvel a kli if you bought it from a guy. What if you bought a kli from a Jew? No need for tefillas kelim. What if you bought a kli from a corporation? Whoa, same question. Now we're not sure. Is that a guy? Is that a new individual who doesn't have a bris but also didn't take on his status of guy either? What is a corporation? So all of these areas of halacha become affected by this one idea that Rabbi Asher Weiss, right as of now, seems to have invented, but we'll see soon that he thinks has precedent in halacha, and we'll see soon even has potentially more precedent in halacha. So this is an amazing question. Potentially not, although that's questionable because the Jews who use the office maybe should have the mezuzah up, but whether they have to put up mezuzahs, is it a Jewish-owned property? It could depend on, you know, the people who are occupying might need to put it up. Anyways, but it happens to be, I don't know if I put this on the sheet, I think I might have somewhere. Maybe towards the end of the Rav Asher Weiss. He quotes from our hero from last year. I mean, he's still our hero, but we just don't talk about as much anymore, of Tzvi Pesach Frank. He has a tshuva in Har Tzvi about the government-owned facilities. So government-owned facilities in Israel, like soldier camps and the like, you know. Yeah, exactly. Like offices operated and owned by the government in Israel, by the Medina. So do they need a mezuzah? So I think Tzvi Pesach Frank writes that they're pater from mezuzah for this reason, because they're collectively owned. They're not owned by any individual, but rather they're owned by the corporation or whatever the entity that is Medina Yisrael. Rabbi Asher Weiss says there's room to nitpick on that. Is you have to figure out when it's considered a corporation, when it's not considered a corporation. They didn't LLC it, but that's a good question. He talks about mezuzahs there as well. Yeah.
So then, if a corporation can own chametz, even if it's a majority owned by Jews shareholder, then why do the kashrus organizations require Jewish-owned corporations to sell their chametz over Pesach?
Two reasons. One, not everyone agrees with the Rashi Weiss. Meaning, we're learning one. This, like I always say, this is not a shir for Pesach Halacha. Meaning, Rashi Weiss is one opinion. Two is that even Rashi Weiss, like we said by Ribbis, will tell you there's room to be machmir on these things, room to be stringent. It's a chiddush. This is a fascinating concept, an amazing concept. He thinks it's true, but it doesn't hurt to, you know, work. But again, not everyone agrees, so that's also an important point. I don't know. You have to, you know, you still have to ask the shaila b'diavad also. No, not because I think we assume b'diavad on these, like, you know, though they're not all corporations, but these big Jewish companies that don't sell their chametz, we are very careful about after Pesach. They might not be incorporated. I have no idea. But
the whole issue of selling the chametz was a result of the whiskey business in Europe. It all started, and the whiskey businesses, I maybe were owned by families, but at one point they became corporations.
Right. Maybe not in Europe, but by now they for sure are.
Yeah.
Okay. In Os Hay, Rav Asher says, I have a little bit of a backing, although you'll see soon he thinks he's not right. But he says, I have a little bit of a backing, a little bit of precedent from Rav Moshe Feinstein himself. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva elsewhere, in Yerdei and Chelik Beis, in Simon Samach Beis, Samach Gimel, and also in Yerdei and Chelik Gimel. So Rav Moshe writes in this tshuva that there's no Isser Ribis in Halva'ah from a corporation because the Achrayus, the lien on the property, the liability is not on any given person, any given individual in the company, but rather it's on the company as a whole. And look in the classic, you know, language of Moshe Feinstein turning English words into Hebrew. Nimtza she'en kan lova klal, ela ha business hu alova. The business is the lova. I think if you keep reading that tshuva, he writes corporation. Kuf, Aleph, Resh, Pei, etc. So here the business is the Lova. However, Rav Moshe writes, and this is how they quote him, Lalacha, Rabbi Reisman quotes Rav Moshe this way in a tshuva, in his sefer. Rabbi Reisman wrote a critical foundational sefer on Hilchos Ribbis. I forgot what it was. I think it's called The Laws of Ribbis or something like that. It's excellent. It's old. I don't know if it's dated. It's old, meaning it could be that you could add a lot of things. I don't think it's dated. I think it's timeless in terms of the work he did in terms of taking Hilchos Ribbis and putting it into English. There are many more cases in business has involved so much that you need to add to it, but not chasom subtract. It's a very good work. So he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein this way as well. And Rav Moshe assumed that the reason is that a borrower is defined as someone who has a personal responsibility, a liability, to pay back a loan. But when the loan is guaranteed by the company's assets, not by any individual, then there's no Jewish borrower, and therefore the Jewish person can be paying back the ribbis. However, Rav Moshe explicitly prohibits individuals from paying ribbis to a Jewish corporation. So Rav Moshe stops short of saying exactly what Rav Asher is saying. But Rav Asher says, I think Rav Moshe should have gone all the way. I think once you say a corporation is its own entity, is not Jewish, is not Goyish, it's just its own entity, it's a new thing, corporation is a new person, so then it could lend in ribbis and it could borrow in ribbis. It could do everything in ribbis. It could lend and borrow in ribbis because not a person, so the laws of ribbis do not apply. He makes an important point at the end of his tshuva, and in his classic, you know, his pikchus. It's not just that you have to be smart to be a poser. You have to understand the world. You have to understand what people are going to read when they read your tshuva. You have to understand how people act and behave in the business world. So at the very end here, in her source sheet, Rav Asher Weiss clarifies that he thinks that chametz doesn't apply. And he thinks ribbis technically shouldn't apply. And he thinks tfilas kelim maybe would be not a guy, not a Jew, and therefore you wouldn't have a question about whether tfilas kelim is a chiyuv or not. He thinks all those things are true. However, obviously a corporation cannot steal, and you can't steal from a corporation. Obviously a corporation cannot cheat on taxes, and you can't cheat a corporation. All the halachos, the mitzvos that are sichli, that are logical, that are intuitive to the world, that are utilitarian, that help the world function in a proper way, those all apply to a corporation the same way they apply to a person, because the world has to function in that way. We can't have people running around stealing from each other. It doesn't matter if you're a person or if you're a corporation. Call yourself whatever you want. You still have to play by the rules of the society. So none of those rules go out the window just because it's a corporation. Just a corporation doesn't mean you can murder its employees, right? It's still the same rules of regular living in terms of dictating society. However, these halachos that are strictly gzeiras hakasev, that the Torah, you know, says no chametz, the Torah says yes tfilas kelim, those halachos don't apply to such a company. Unbelievable. So in that context, he ends the tshuva before the second source you have over here. He ends the tshuva in the hay by saying that in theory, fundamentally, I think it's true that a bank doesn't have a status as a person, not Jewish, not a Goyish, and therefore it's a corporation. You could actually lend and borrow ribis. Ach, b'mokum d'yashar yish lagel look nosaf minios p'shlita b'mur. He says, ideally you would use a heter iska, but if you're really stuck, I would allow you to actually own stock in this corporation fully and lend and borrow with ribis without any problems whatsoever. Ideally use a heter iska, but if not, not. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Rashi Weiss writes. Okay, so he said that he had Rav Moshe Feinstein on his side, although Rav Moshe didn't really say all the way, but does he have any other precedent in halacha? We're going to rush through this because we're running out of time, but if you look at the next source where we have the next tshuva, and Minchas Asher copied a little bit of it for you here, he notes that that he thinks that he does have precedent in halacha. He says there's a concept in the Torah of mamun hashevet, that the ownership of gifts that are given to the Kohen are not owned by any individual Kohen, but are rather owned by the entirety of the Shevet of the Kohen. Again, once a Kohen takes acquisition of those gifts that were given to him, then he owns it. But until that point, it's owned by the greater Shevet as a whole, by the tribe as a whole of Kohuna, as opposed to any given Kohen in particular. It's not owned by all the Kohanim equally. It's owned by the Shevet as a whole entity. Additionally, Hektish, general idea of Hektish, that things that are sanctified, that are consecrated to the Mikdash, to the Beis HaMikdash, they are not owned by any person, by multiple people, by all the Jewish people. They are owned by Hektish. Hektish is its own entity. The Mikdash owns its stuff. And therefore, the halachas of chametz don't apply to the Mikdash. If the Mikdash owns chametz, it's not a Bal Yirah, Bal Yamatza issue. Same thing with Kohanim. Again, you have to look inside. We don't have time for it. But if the Kohen hasn't taken ownership himself yet, but rather it's owned by the entirety of the Shevet, they don't violate the Isser, Bal Yirah, Bal Yamatza, chametz, when it comes to, let's say, challah, for example, that's owned by the entirety of the Shevet. He has other cases as well that seem to be precedent. The truth is, though, you seem to find precedent already in the Rishonim. This is something that the Ragatrever, Rashi Weiss quotes it but rejects it. The Ragatrever says in like 40 places. But this is a very simple idea that the Rav used to be fond of bringing out. You have a sort of the stars at the bottom of the page, like sectioning off the next thing. So this is not from Rashi Weiss. This is something we're just connecting. The Pasuk says in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Dabel b'nei Yisrael v'marta alihem adam ki yakav mikem karban la'ashem min abehem min abakar min atzon takriv es karban chem. Every word in this Pasuk is darshan by Chazal. Every single word in this Pasuk. However, karban chem means you bring your collective karban. It's in the plural. Your collective karban. When do we have a karban that's brought on behalf of everyone as one? So Rashi says, karban chem. There's such a thing as an ola coming as a group offering of the Klal Yisrael altogether. He olas ketzem is be'ach abam and amosaras. When there's leftover money from the money that was collected in the lishka for the tmidim musafin, so they use leftover money to occupy the mizbeach. When there are no other karbanos, they'll offer olas ketzem is be'ach. They'll offer olos, karban olos, that are gift offerings, just to make sure the mizbeach's currently being used and not being left idle. So there Rashi says that karban chem, your korban, as one Jewish people, exists where? In this case of Olas Ketzem Mizbeach. So the Ramban comments, again, the Ramban disagrees with this, but the Ramban comments on the Rashi, Pirshu Rav Kain, the Rav, meaning Rashi, said this, Lo Marshim Yisnadvu Rabim Lahavi Olas Hashotinhi. Let's say 150 people, let's say the whole Shari Tzedek decides we want to bring an Ola. We want to bring an Ola to the Beis HaMikdash. So you all get together and you put in, you know, 360, 180, whatever, I'll give you 18. And you all put in a little bit of money and we get an Ola all together as a group. So what is that? Is that a Nidvas HaTzibor? Is that all of us gave one karban? So the Ramban says, no. From Rashi, you see, that's not an Ola HaTzibor. That's an Ola HaShutfin. We're all partners. We're all stakeholders in this karban. But we're not giving one collective unit of a karban. You only have sometimes an idea where if you had, you know, the Olas Ketzem Mizbeach, if you had the Olas Ketzem Mizbeach, that's the only time you could have a Ola of the Tzibor, otherwise it's just an Ola of individuals who got together as a group. However, the Ramban goes on to argue with Rashi and says that he thinks that if Rov Klal Yisrael, most of Klal Yisrael got together, for sure all of Klal Yisrael got together, and bought one Ola, one carbon like this, again, there are not communities between a Tzibor carbon and a not Tzibor carbon, like Smicha, and whether you can offer a Shlamim, other things like that, not for now, but the Ramban thinks that if all of Klal Yisrael or most of Klal Yisrael got together and bought a karban, an ola, and offered it, that would be an ola satzibor. Why? Because, apparently, if the entirety of Klal Yisrael, or most of it, comes together, it can become more than just a bunch of shutfim, more than just a bunch of partners, but rather it can become its own entity. It becomes Knesset Yisrael. It becomes one group, one new entity, one new persona, a corporation, an LLC of the Jewish people that can offer a carbon as one individual offering the carbon, as opposed to many individuals teaming up and partnering. If you look, I typed for you here from the Sefer Ala Tshuva, which is the Tshuva Drashas as printed by Pinchas Peli from the Rav of Soloveitchik during the Aseres Mei Tshuva that he always gave. He quotes this Ramban and he says, "Benigud gamer lekarbon hashutvin, different than a partnership carbon, sheish lo harbe bailam, which has many owners that are all teaming up. There are many owners." Shnayim or Alpayim or million. It could be two owners, there could be 1,000 owners, there could be 1,000,000 owners. Hakol if you miss bar mishtatim bo, however many people get involved. Carbon sibor is different. Ein lo ela bailam echad. A carbon sibor has only one owner. There's one owner. Mamish kimo carbon yachid. Umiyu abailam. Who's the owner? There's 1,000,000 people involved. The tzibor. Klal Yisrael. She'ein al pi din hasacha kolo. Klal Yisrael is not a lot of individuals. Klal Yisrael is not hatsirif haritmati. It's not an arithmetic equation. Shel kol shel kach v'kach yichidim of this many people. Ela ishius yichudis atmis. It's its own metaphysical entity. It's a new persona in chativa b'fnei atma. Its own concept. Its own idea. Its own person. Klal Yisrael can come together and become one person, make it tzibor, and that's a concept here in the halachas of karbanos. You have it in one other places, but you have it in many other places, but another place that's important is the halachas of ksiva sefer Torah. There's a mitzvah of atah kisva lachem as a shira azos. You have to write a sefer Torah. So the poskim debate whether writing a sefer Torah and doing it with a partner counts as your mitzvah, or if it's b'shutf, if it's owned as a partner, that doesn't count. This is Rabbi Kiv Eger quotes Taras Chaim with a chumra about this, but Moshe Feinstein writes that because of that, Rabbi Kiv Eger quotes Taras Chaim that a person shouldn't first write a sefer Torah, then dedicate it to a shul. Because when you dedicate it to the shul, it becomes the property of everyone in the shul. And therefore, it's a shutfus. Everyone just owns it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, he doesn't think when you donate to a shul, it becomes a shutfus. Because when you donate to a shul, it becomes the tzibors. It didn't go to the ownership of many individuals. It becomes the tzibors. It becomes one person's sefer Torah. And therefore, you have to read there to see the details, but he ends up disagreeing with that chumrah. Again, but you see this concept in halacha earlier on in different mitzvos, that when people come together, in some ways, they are sometimes just a bunch of individuals, but in other instances, and that's what Rav Asher Weiss is arguing about corporations in general, that's what the Ramban was saying about korbanos in certain instances. That's what the Rav was spelling out for us from that Ramban. The Jewish people can come together, and people in general can come together to make something into one individual entity, make something into one corporation. So it applies lalacha and ribis, chametz, tilas kelim, korbanos, Sefer Torah, so many different areas of halacha, is something a person has to think about, but again, ask the shaila in any given case, because as much as it's a beautiful chiddush, an amazing chiddush, and a compelling chiddush, it's something which is a chiddush. It's a novel concept that needs to be dealt with by a posik in his own right in every single instance. Okay? Everyone should have a wonderful day.